Next on Sound Doctrine, Solomon is at the end of his life reflecting on what's transpired. His conclusion? Well, there's a time for everything. Hear all about it as you join us.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Welcome to another Sound Doctrine broadcast. Today we get back into Ecclesiastes, covering chapter 3. Our lives revolve around time. Imagine trying to navigate through life without it. When would we arrive at work? Schedule an appointment without time. God is also very concerned about time. As we'll see today, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson encouraging us to trust the Lord through every season of life.
So God's timing His plan, the time to plant, the time to root up. Jesus said in John chapter 15, He made it very clear in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nada, nothing. We need Him. We need to be planted in the Lord. And when you receive Christ, you open your heart to receive Christ, you're asking Him in. And the Holy Spirit gets planted in you to cause you to come alive spiritually, to cause you to be born again. Yeah, we were born by our parents, but you need to be born again spiritually to your Father in heaven. There's a whole new life. Whole new look at things. And then there's a time to come against or to break down. That time is when Jesus came against the Pharisees and the scribes. That time is when he entered the temple area and saw how they were ripping the people off. He grabbed a rope and he made a whip out of it. And he went through the temple and just said, this place is not a place of thieves and ripping the people off. This is the house of God, a house of prayer. And he leveled the place and he freaked everybody out. And nobody touched him because they knew they were ripping the people off. He turned over the money changers and let the doves go and just came in there with righteous indignation. So time to root up. Now, verse 3 of Ecclesiastes, he goes on to say, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. So this, a time to kill, is in the Hebrew, Hebrew, there's a time to kill. It's talking about not murder, because really when you look at murder, it's only mentioned there in the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit what? Murder. But what about killing? Does God kill? Yeah. He's part of killing. And there's a time to heal. Definitely he's into healing. So this is not a reference to war or personal self-defense. If it's a just war or if it's capital offense, there's killing involved. And that's okay. Notice in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 39, he says, now, see that I am he, and there is no God beside me. This is God speaking. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. That's God's character. He kills and he heals. He's both of these things. A time to do this and a time to do that. This is who he is. This is his character. So we've got to go and look at what God says, his plan. When is aggression too much? When should there be some healing involved, or compassion, or compromise, actually? Sometimes there needs to be a compromise. God not only uses miracles when he heals, but he uses means. What do you mean, means? Doctors, medicine. And we need to look at that, because God uses anything that's here in this world. And he uses medicine, and it's good. But always give the Lord the first shot at it. We pray for the sick on Saturdays at 8 o'clock, and the men are gathering together, anointing the sick with oil. We have so many healed. Oh, you don't hear a lot about it, but people are being touched and healed through prayer. That's a miracle, isn't it? And God's still doing miracles. But what about if they go from the prayer meeting, go back to the doctor, and the doctor goes, well, you didn't get healed. It didn't happen. Well, should you go to a doctor, or should you do medicine? Yeah, because God created those. He created the doctors and the medicine. Wow. How many have been blessed by doctors and medicine? And that's to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, that these guys have discovered this stuff, especially in these days. We're living a lot longer. Hey, 70's the new 50. Lord's good. Should he get a life in prison or psychiatric care, or it's a time to tear down, a time to build up? The Christian life is negatives and positives. We know this because the Lord says, build your foundation on that which is laid. There is no greater foundation or no other powerful. The only foundation that's really true is Christ. Build your life on him. Don't build your house on the sand. Build it on the rock. That's stable. All of our, you know, labors and works that we've done are all going to be tried. And they're going to be tried with fire. And those that get burned up are burned up. And you say, well, I did this for you, Lord. I did that. And he's going to turn and say, I never knew you. You never had a relationship with me. And you're saying that you did all this stuff. That's meaningless. He did it for us. Look what he did, and receive what he did for yourself. And you're going to be fine. Because then you're not going to build on a weird foundation. You're going to build it on him. I like that proverb in Proverbs 6 in verse 17. There are certain things that God says that he hates. Seven deadly sins. It's in Proverbs 6, 16. Six things does the Lord hate, and seven is abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. That has a little something to do with abortion, doesn't it? A hand that devises wicked imaginations, feet that swift to running to mischief, a false witness, one that goes by lies, he that sows discord among the brethren. Somebody that just is in here as plants by the enemy to cause division amongst us. God hates that. Now, in verse 4, as we continue on, he says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Because, you know, laughing is like medicine. You know, you can live in this world and get so hard and not laugh. You can get so serious and blow it. You can miss out on laughing being a medicine to your heart and to others. It's okay to laugh. It depends what you're laughing at and about. But laughing is good. Crying is good. Jesus wept. What does crying do? But relieves us. It ministers to us. You cry about it. You know, you miss somebody. You cry. That's good. It's not because you lack faith. It's just part of our emotions. God gave us that. And may God help us to become emotional human beings. That we can laugh with those that laugh, and we can weep with those that weep. That's really being touchable and being helpful. There's times where we just are called to do that. So they're good things. Jesus was called the man of sorrows. And he really had compassion. Remember, he saw the people as they were coming out of that town, and he said, these are sheep without a shepherd. And his heart went out to them, and he had compassion on them because they were lost. They needed a shepherd. A time to scatter. Notice the next one. A time to cast stones and a time to gather stones. That's an interesting statement. Listen, in 2 Kings chapter 3, it says that Israel is a land of stones. And someone said, well, haven't you heard the story? There was an angel that had a bunch of stones that he was transferring over in the Middle East, and he tripped over Israel, and all the stones were dumped there. And so, there, you know, Israel always has said, I wish we would have went right instead of left. Because when we went left, we entered into a land of stones, because that's all they have over there, everywhere. If we would have went right, could have had oil and a better situation, but they didn't. So this thing, this whole thing with stones, cast away the stones. Oh, and remember the story of Jesus with the woman caught in the very act of adultery? We caught her. Where's the guy? That's my question. They brought the girl and threw her down, you know. Where's the guy? He just got away with it? Usually, you know, that's how it is. And the woman gets caught. And they're going to go, they got these huge stones, because they always use huge stones when they stone somebody. You don't use little stones. No, you use huge ones to break everything in their body. And they get serious about stoning someone. And they were ready to stone this woman. What did Jesus do? Just marked on the dust there. And I think he kind of put their sins down. Every one of them. He named their sin. And slowly but surely, everyone dropped their stone. So time to lay it down, man. Don't go there. Let it go. But I hate and I want, you know. I want her to suffer and, you know, let it go. Drop your stone. You'll feel a lot better. So there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to cast away stones. How about Israel? What did they do with all their stones? Because, hey, listen, sometimes people try to, you know, throw rocks on us. And instead of letting those rocks kind of hit us and bother us, why don't we take them and build something out of them? It's like with the lemon thing, you know? Oh, I got a lemon and this is terrible. Well, make lemonade, you know? This whole thing, Israel saw the stones. What did they do? They built walls around their crops, around their sheep. They built watchtowers to watch over their properties and stuff. So they did something with the stones. Then there's, notice, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So there's a time to come together and hug one another and thank one another for one another and not, you know, guys get weird about that. You know, you hug a girl, there's a way you hug a girl. Did you know that, Christian guys? You know, it gets so weird. It's your mind. And I don't know, guys trip up on that anyhow. Be careful, girls. We're to hug one another, embrace one another in Christian love with the mind of Christ. But what about not embracing? There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, that talks about don't part your intimacy with your wife or husband. But if you do part and not have intimacy for a while, let it be for a time of prayer and fasting so the devil won't trap you and for your inconsistency trip you up. So there is a scripture about stop embracing for a bit. I thought that's interesting. So moving along, he says there's a time to get and a time to lose in verse 6, a time to keep and a time to cast away. In other words, you time to acquire things and there's a time to sacrifice. It's part of life. A time to keep and cast away. Garage sale. We're going to get rid of it. To someone else, it's their treasure. But let them have it. It's not our treasure anymore. It's time to cast away. Get it rid of it. I like that. Verse 7, he says, a time to rend. And a time to sow. Rend means tear. There's a time where Jews, that if your son or daughter left Judaism, the man of the house would rip his suit, his clothes, rend it. In other words, totally in disagreement with what's going on, and to show that disagreement. Hey, do you remember what happened in the temple? Remember when Jesus died, what took place inside the temple as they were having service in there? This huge curtain that was 18 inches thick tore from the top to the bottom, right in front of their eyes. They freaked out. This was to block the holies of holies from the children of God. Only the priest could go in there once a year. It was a wall. God brought it down. He said, it's open house. Anybody can come now, as much as they can. You come just like you are. He'll take you just like you are with all your stuff. Hey, there's nothing blocking. There's nothing stopping you from coming. No, with God, he's calling you, and it's open house. And he just wants to bless you. Now, this whole thing, the next thing is a time to rent, and then he says a time to silence and a time to speak. That's for sure. There's times where you don't say anything. There's nothing you can say. Like when somebody dies and you go in and you're just being with them. You don't say anything, because usually when we say something, it's off the wall and it's not good. I'm so glad they're with Jesus. You know, they're with the Lord. Yeah, they would come. But, you know, they want them to be with them. It hurts right now. So you don't say that. There's certain things you say and certain things you don't say. And we got to just be there is the best thing to say and to do. Be there. And then there's a time to speak. And what is that time? Well, open rebuke is better than silent love. Oh, I love that brother so much. But don't you know he's in drugs? Yeah, I'm praying for him. How about just going over there and kind of rebuke him a little bit in love and in meekness, trying to get him back into the flock, trying to get him back into church? I mean, you say you love him, but are you willing to speak to them about their situation? Man, you can win a brother or sister over. Then a time to love and a time to hate. That's good because, you know, we need that. But it just, you know, provided we love and hate the proper things, right? There's a time to love certain things, and there's a time to hate. Because God is a God of love, and he's what? He's a God of hate. It's all through the scriptures. Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, 9. Listen. It says, let love be without dissimulation, but abhor that which is evil. In other words, that word abhor is hate. Hate evil. Cleave to that which is good. So God's saying, you can hate. Hate evil. He hates it. So we're supposed to hate what the Lord hates. Don't get involved in it. Over in 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man says, oh, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So, you know, hatred amongst brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters here. We're the family of God. Do you know how people out there look at us and how they listen to what we say about what happens here? Behold how they love one another. In other words, if they hear good things and forgiving things and not that we're being unreal, but that we're just being on positive about our love for one another, and we're not going to allow the enemy to come in and put hate between us. Because that, you say you love God, but you hate your brother? No, we're all in the family. So we got to wrestle that. We got to wrestle to keep the unity in the body of Christ. Because there's times where a weaker brother really blows your mind. Here comes that guy. Oh, I'm getting out of here. And you dodge him, you know? Just go up to him and, you know, say, bless you, brother, and give him a hug. Let it go. You know, don't be so hateful. This world can make us that way. And we have to wrestle to stay out of that anger and hatred. And then over in Psalm 97, I hope you're taking notes. Psalm 97, good one, in verse 10. And this is simple. 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. I mean, it's just boom. So we get to hate evil. That's a good thing. In other words, when you go and you're on your boob tube and you're looking at it and then evil shows up, what do? Just check it out? Wow, that's dark. That's evil. Wow. And you get into it? No, you hate it and you turn it and you block it, whatever you need to block. Because you know it's evil. You don't think about it. You don't go there. How many of us get ripped off Because we are programming our minds with things of the world that are evil and hateful, and we're disturbed. And we're wondering why we don't have any peace of God. You know, we're struggling in our minds and in our hearts. Just realize you're like a computer. Always you got to have good input. Today, this time we have here, this is good input. We need this more than ever. That's why it says, don't find yourselves, you know, staying away from the fellowship. No, knowing that the Lord's coming back, come even more. Why? Because it's getting so dark out there. We got to light it up in here. We got to let the light just burn away the chaff and cleanse our minds.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. He'll be right back. We've been in Ecclesiastes 3 today in a message we've called A Time for Everything. You can request today's study on CD by calling us toll free 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we can be reached at 800-353-7553. Or you can listen to today's message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's for another convenient way to listen to Pastor Jeff's teachings. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play, and look for our podcast wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Well, each day we like to suggest a resource that not only contains sound doctrine, but can help you in your walk with Christ. Today, we'd like to make a special mention of Romans by Rose Publishing. You've heard about salvation, grace, and righteousness in the book of Romans, but have you ever wondered what they really mean? Well, in this 14-panel, full-color pamphlet, you'll read about these cornerstone concepts and more. It beautifully explains each section of the epistle in an easy-to-understand way. Get answers to questions like, what does it mean to be saved? How can I live a righteous life? And how can I please God? Request a copy of Romans by Rose Publishing today for a suggested donation of $6 by calling us 800-353-7553, or you can order it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And as you're being helped and blessed through the teaching of God's Word on sound doctrine, would you prayerfully consider making a financial contribution this month? It'll serve to help us cover the cost of being on the radio. You can make a donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org by clicking donate, or call 800-353-7553. Let's cover some more ground in Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Verse 9 says, he says, listen, what profit has he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Over in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, verse 3, it says, what profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Wherein is the profit? Wherein is the good? Where is it in the investment in this world that's under the sun? Listen to this. Romans 8:28. God is for us. And he says, he makes it really simple. He says, we know that all things are working together for good for those that love the Lord, love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Therein is profit. Therein is good things, because he blesses us. As we walk with him, he keeps us. As we stay close to him, he pours out his Spirit upon us. And he wants to give us, you know, sound minds. And then notice the last one, verse 10, I have seen the travail, the trials, the hardship which God has given to the sons of men. That's under the sun. That's what we're experiencing in this world. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. So it's time to look at life as a gift, that this toil that God puts us in and gives to us, the trials and tribulations, which is a promise, is healthy and good for us. Well, you say, what? What are you talking about? I don't like trials. I don't like suffering. But we sometimes need to go through those things in our lives because we need character built within us. God knows how we need to start learning to trust Him and not just to say, oh, bless the Lord, or get Christianese down, and we got all the sayings, but we're not doing it, you know? Oh, you need to trust the Lord. Are you trusting the Lord? What? We need to trust the Lord. Acknowledge Him in everything that we're in. Trial, acknowledge Him, and He'll bring it to pass. Lean not to your don't try to figure it out. It's okay. He allowed it to come. He allows everything. It goes before His throne first. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? He okayed it.
Well, there's more to come in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we'll have that for you the rest of this week on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. This is the presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,